So we're used to thinking about Sephardic Jews as the Jews of Spain, but what we're really celebrating in part is Edot HaMizrach, the Jews who, some of them never even made it to Europe to leave again, and yet we were worried that that term Edot HaMizrach might have been a little bit alien to a lot of us, something we did not know. And so we're going to move a little bit farther afield right now to Afghanistan and to the storytelling tradition of the Jews in Afghanistan and the encounter of the wooden sword. And it happened like this, because the king, as is not uncommon, decided that he needed better information and intelligence than his advisors were given. And so the king took off his kingly garments, dressed in simple garb, put away his golden scepter, and took a simple staff of iron and set out into his kingdom to see what his people were doing. And as he wandered further from the rich center of the city, he ended up in smaller villages. And from one at a small cottage, he heard the most joyous singing coming out of a broken window. The king was curious and peered in and saw there a simple man and woman at a small wooden table having a meal of just a few grains and some fruit. But the man took a small glass of arak and said some words, Baruch atarana Eloheinu melech olam shehakol niyeh bivaro, and said, praised are you, God, for this beautiful day. And the king looked in and thought, what can make this family of such poverty so happy? And so he knocked on the door and said, excuse me, it's hot on the road, and I'm wondering if I can come in to be here and maybe have a bit of the food with you. And the man said, yes, yes, you come in, come in. And so the king in his disguise asked and said, what? I'm hearing you sing from outside. I'm wondering, why are you so happy? And the man and the woman looked at him and said, oh, we have everything we need, you see. I go out and I'm a cobbler, and every day I fix a couple of pairs of shoes, and with that I have enough money to make a lovely meal for my family, and so I am quite happy. Well, the king was impressed at these simple people, and as he left and their beautiful singing, he wondered, well, this is a man of faith, but what would happen if his situation and his circumstances were not so good? And so the king went back to his palace and made a decree that cobblers would no longer be permitted in the kingdom. Rather, maybe people should have to buy new shoes from Indonesia or someplace like that. And then he went back out into the kingdom and across to the village, and there he heard the most beautiful sound coming out of this broken down house, this voice of joy singing. And he looked in, and there was the same couple with some simple grains and fruits on the table, raising a small glass. And he knocked again on the door. Hello, my friend, may I am in the neighborhood again. May I come in? And they said, of course you must come in. Please have our food with us. What is ours is yours, and yours is ours. It's all good. And the king asked him, he said, I heard that the king said there's no more shoemaking. I'm wondering, how is it that you have you're still doing okay? And he says, it's very, very simple. First of all, I have great faith. It's not a problem. But as I went out and heard that the king said no more cobblers, I ran into some water carriers. And I saw they were carrying water to the village and selling it. Poland Spring, they call it. Very good water. And I said, maybe I can do this too. And so I did. And lo and behold, at the end of the day, I had the same amount of money I began with from when I was cobbler. And I came back and I made a beautiful meal. The king was duly impressed at this resourceful and faithful man. But when he went back to the palace, well, you can guess what happened. He said, "We're going to forbid people from buying water. Maybe people need more exercise. We have a dilemma of obesity here in Afghanistan. People will have to fetch their own water." The wife looked at the man and wondered, "How on earth are we going to provide for the family? You can't be a cobbler. You can't carry the water." And the man said, "Don't worry, don't worry. I believe we are all okay. It's fine, it's fine." And he went out. And as he was wandering, he saw some wood choppers at the edge of the forest. I thought, "You know, I can lift things and swing. I'll go." He went back to the house and he got out the old rusted axe and he sharpened it and he went in and he began to chop at the trees too. Click. And at the end of the day, amazingly enough, he had the exact same amount of money that he had when he worked as a cobbler and as a water carrier. And so they bought their food and they began to sing their songs of praise. And just as they were getting to the good part of the meal, there was their old friend, their beloved friend again. And they looked, and he said, "Please, please, it's so hot still again. It's even hotter. It's the middle of spring in Portland. I mean, in Afghanistan. Can I come in and sit in?" They said, "Of course." And so the king asked again, "How did this happen? I heard the rules were changed." He says, "It's not a problem. There's always, you know, there's a way if you believe. And I saw these woodcutters and I thought I can cut wood too. And so we made the same amount of money and all was good." Well, the king went back and you might sort of wonder what sort of a ruler this is after all. But he decided that he would send the head of his guardsmen, the chief guard, outside the forest. And as the woodcutters went there the next day, all of them would be inducted to serve in the king's palace. And that's exactly what happened. They were taken away and given new clothes to match the decor of the palace. They were each given a shiny sword with which to stand guard and to protect the kingdom. But they were no longer day laborers, and they would work all day and send get home at the end, but they would only be paid on the 30th of the month. And it was the first of the month. Well, he thought, "You know, it's okay. I have faith." And so he went there walking up and down in front of the palace with his sword exactly as he had been instructed, and went home and wondered, "You know, I don't even have enough money for tonight's meal, let alone for the next 29 days. What am I going to do?" he wondered. What? He took out his axe again and a piece of wood, and he began to cut it and shape it until he had made himself a wooden sword. And then he took the metal sword, which the king had provided to every guard, and sold it, and with that, provided for him and his family enough money to feed them for 30 days until the next pay period would come. Well, as they were sitting down to their meal of grains and fruits, it's a very healthy diet, you should try it. Suddenly, "Their friend, come in, you must to sit with us. We are having a beautiful day." And the king asked, "Tell me, I hear that the king is changing everything all the time. I don't know what's the matter with this king, but I know you have no money and you are not allowed to be a cobbler and you are not allowed to be a water carrier and you're not allowed to chop the wood. Tell me, this is the same beautiful meal you have had every night. I am unclear how it is that you are able to do this." And he said, "Well, you know, the king gave us a uniform and a metal sword worth quite a bit of money. And so I cut a wooden sword and put it into the scabbard and sold the metal one. And with that, I have enough money.
Well, the king looked at him and said, well, yes, but what if the king finds out about it? Are you not worried you are going to get in trouble or something, no?
He says, I don't worry about what hasn't happened. I have a guardian on my side, and the guardian will look after me. And the king looked and said, guardian, you don't even have any children. What are you going to do when you're old? How are you going to take care of yourself? He says, no. My guardian is not a person. My guardian is Ribono Shel Olam, the ruler of the world. Well, the king was impressed at this man's continuing faith. But the next day, he sent out a decree that somebody wicked in the kingdom was to be executed. And he arranged it so that the Jew would be called to execute him, knowing, of course, that with a wooden sword, nothing could possibly be done. Well, when the Jewish guard was there and heard that he would have to be the one to chop off the person's neck, he was terrified. He had never killed anything in his life before. And he complained to the captain of the guard. He said, I've not even killed a fly. I'm a very peaceful man. Please don't make me do this. And he said, look, it is the order of the king. If you do not do it, you will be put to death. He said, okay. Let me just pray first to God before anything and stall a little bit for time. Please, God, what am I going to do? And then out loud, as though still praying, he said, dear God, you know I am a peaceful man. I have never killed anything in my life, and I do not wish to kill anything now. But if I must do it when I take my sword out of the scabbard, let it be that if the man is guilty, he'll be killed in one swell swoop of my sword and his head shall whirl off. But if the man is not guilty, let my sword turn to wood. And he pulled his scabbard out, and lo and behold, it was a wooden sword. Everyone was really quite impressed, I must tell you. And the king most of all. In fact, the king was so impressed by the faith and the trust and the wisdom and the cleverness of this man that he went up to him and said, do you recognize me? And finally, the peasant realized it was the king. You have been coming to my apartment, my little house. He says, yes, but now you'll come visit me. I'm appointing you to be my chief advisor because I am impressed by your wisdom and your faith. And so it was that they moved out of their village into the palace of the king, all because of a wooden sword. So I will leave to you the question about the wooden swords in your life and about how faith might sustain us. And wish you all Shabbat Shalom!